He now had figures which detailed their migratory habits, their wing shapes, their aerodynamic profile and turbulence characteristics, and some sort of rudimentary figures concerning the patterns that a flock would adopt in flight. But as yet, he had only the faintest idea as to how he was going to synthesize them all together. Because he was too tired to think particularly constructively tonight, he savagely selected and copied a whole swathe of figures from the spreadsheet at random, pasted them into his own conversion program, which scaled and filtered and manipulated the figures according to his own experimental algorithms, loaded the converted file into Performer, a powerful sequencer program, and played the result through random MIDI channels to whichever synthesizers happened to be on at the moment. The result was a short burst of the most hideous cacophony, and he stopped it. He ran the conversion program again, this time instructing it to force map the pitch values into G minor. This was a utility he was determined in the end to get rid of, because he regarded it as cheating. If there was any basis to his firmly held belief that the rhythms and harmonies of music which he found most satisfying could be found in, or at least derived from, the rhythms and harmonies of naturally occurring phenomena, then satisfying forms of modality and intonation should emerge naturally as well, rather than being forced. For the moment, though, he forced it. The result was a short burst of the most hideous cacophony in G minor. So much for random shortcuts. The first task was a relatively simple one, which should be simply to plot the waveform described by the tip of a swallow's wing as it flies, then synthesize that waveform. That way he would end up with a single note, which would be a good start and shouldn't take more than the weekend to do. Except, of course, that he didn't have a weekend available to do it in, because he had somehow to get version 2 of Anthem out of the door sometime during the course of the next year, or month, as Gordon called it. Which brought Richard inexorably to the third thing he was shaking about. There was absolutely no way that he could take the time off this weekend or next to fulfil the promise he had made to Susan's telephone answering machine. And that, if this evening's debacle had not already done so, would surely spell the final end. But that was it. The thing was done. There is nothing you can do about a message on someone else's answering machine other than let events take their course. It was done. It was irrevocable. An odd thought suddenly struck him. It took him by considerable surprise, but he couldn't really see what was wrong with it.